Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode. It's a special episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. This episode is devoted to one case and one case only, the case of Deputy Sheriff Josh Hoppy Hopkins, who was arrested and charged with murder after being involved in an officer-involved shooting in which he was vindicated by all of the investigative bodies, but over a year later was arrested and charged with murder by a sheriff who has now been indicted. This story is a story of corruption, of greed, of power, and of vindication and faith. When you hear Josh Hoppy Hopkins relate what happened to him, you are going to be shocked and you're going to be uplifted by the results. He was found not guilty earlier this week. It's an amazing tale. It's one that I think will shock you. I think you will shake your head in absolute amazement at what took place. And the real question is, how could it happen? How could a deputy sheriff, a law enforcement officer, who was simply protecting himself, doing his job, be victimized by his own sheriff, by a law enforcement officer in charge of the very county in which he served, and still have this result that now has come to change his life? You know, the Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, brings the truth about the American law enforcement officer. And sometimes the truth is ugly. In the case of this sheriff, who is now under indictment, it's very ugly. But in relation to Hoppy Hopkins, it's a story of acquittal. It is a story of faith in his family and his God, and of ultimate vindication. I hope you think about what happened here, and I'd love to hear your comments on it. If you go to Facebook and look up Randy Sutton Public Figure, I'd love to hear your comments. When you hear this on Facebook or podcast, please go to Facebook and let me know what your thoughts are. Let's go right into the interview room with Josh Hoppy Hopkins. Anything that I can do to make law enforcement lives better, safer, and more effective, you can count me in. And I got to tell you about an incredible investigative tool that I have discovered. For those detectives involved in any criminal activity, investigations, and crime analysts too, this is amazing. And it's got a couple different uses. I mean, you can use it for conspiracies. You can use it for murder investigations, drug investigations, trafficking humans. It was originally created for IED investigations. That's improvised explosive devices in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the owner, the president of this company, which is Blue Light LLC, that's Blue Light LLC, is a retired Green Beret Sergeant Major. And they use this stuff very effectively. It is now available to police agencies, big and small. And I got to tell you, I've seen it in use. It is amazing. It's Blue Light LLC, okay? And any criminal investigation where you want to gather the evidence and show the connections to people, this is the product. I've seen it. It's amazing. And these people do incredible work with it. They train you up in it. And it's for big agencies, small agencies. It's being used all over the country. It's in conjunction with IBM. This is amazing, amazing software. So check it out, Blue Light LLC, and that's bluelightllc.com. Check it out And this will solve crimes and save lives.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
With me today on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement in the interview room, is a friend of mine who we are celebrating something very, very special. His name is Josh Hopkins, also known as Hoppy Hopkins, a deputy sheriff from, served in a couple different departments, Ashe County Sheriff's Office in North Carolina and the Carter County Sheriff's Office in Tennessee. And we are celebrating something very special, and that is his victory over the persecution and prosecution for the death of a suspect that that attempted to kill him. Josh, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a truly honor to be on here.
Well, I'll tell you, you honor me by giving me an interview today. I know this is fresh off the presses. Let's celebrate something. Let's celebrate the fact that what happened yesterday?
Well, it was actually 2 days ago. I got back home yesterday, but officially 2 days ago, I stood before a jury of 12, and they all found me 100% not guilty on any charges that was from an officer-involved shooting 3 years ago.
That is the best news that I've heard in a long time. Now, many of the listeners that are aware of your story, but many are not. Let's go back in time to when you were working for the Ashe County Sheriff's Office in North Carolina, and tell us about that night. What happened?
Yes, sir. We responded to a disturbance call. This was actually the 89th call in 2 years on this person. And yeah, that's not a misquote. I said 89 calls in 2 years.
He's a frequent flyer.
Yes, he was, for sure. He had a domestic violence order out against him, also several protection orders. He was not allowed to possess a firearm due to the protection orders. He was also not allowed to consume alcohol. We had actually had two calls out there that night. The first one, I couldn't locate him, so we cleared up the call, went on about our business. The second call there, I was the third officer on scene, and my two partners were talking to Mr. Shatley. He was drunk, and he seemed very agitated. At that time, I noticed that he had a scoped deer rifle, laying in the seat directly beside him. I told him that we were going to remove the firearm from the car as we talked about it. When I mentioned that, his entire demeanor changed, and he basically just went off. He then I grabbed onto him as he tried to reach for the gun. He then started up the truck. He redlined it, did a burnout, dragging me backwards. His truck hit a bank, and as I looked up, I was standing right in front of him. He then put his truck in drive and drove straight at me. I fired my weapon, and also another officer there fired his weapon.
And the suspect was killed at the scene?
He passed later on at the hospital that night, yes, sir.
Okay, so you fired your weapon, another deputy fired his weapon, you hit the suspect, and then, now, let's talk about your agency for a moment. This is the Ash, you were working for the Ashe County Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
And how long were you a deputy with them?
I was a deputy with them about 5.5 years. I've been a deputy total approximately 8 years.
Okay, so you were a 5.5 year deputy. You're an experienced police officer, and you get involved in the officer-involved shooting. Now, every department is different. So, how big is the Ashe County Sheriff's Office? How many officers?
The Ashe County Sheriff's Office is not a big department. I would say total, you know, in the neighborhood of 30-ish officers.
Okay, so you had 30 officers. Who investigated the officer-involved shooting?
The sheriff and one of the lieutenants, and then also the SBI, which is the State Bureau of Investigation for North Carolina.
And what was the sheriff's name?
Sheriff James Williams.
Okay, so the sheriff, did he actually do his own investigation, or did he have a team do the investigation and report to him?
Well, actually, the sheriff and the lieutenant, they actually went over and reviewed the head cams, and they actually cleared me to go back to work like 3 weeks later.
So this was on caught on camera?
Yes, sir. I have two head cams from. I have my view, and also have the other officer's head cam that fired his weapon.
Okay, so the sheriff reviews the camera footage. He clears you to go back to work, and then the State Bureau of Investigation, they conducted their investigation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's 100% correct.
And they cleared you as well.
Well, that was what I originally thought. I have a document from them, you know, like usually, you know, they'll do a disposition, but I have a document from them, and in October of 2015, it clearly says the case is cleared.
All right. When did this shooting happen exactly?
July 8th, 2015.
All right. 2015, July 8th of 2015. Okay. So you're cleared by your sheriff, you're cleared by the Bureau of Investigation, and then 3 weeks later, you return to work, and you're back doing what you do.
Yeah, I go back on patrol for Ashe County Sheriff's Office. I'd been looking at possibly moving to Tennessee to a bigger department. So I went back to Ashe County and worked for a while. Then I got hired on at Carter County Sheriff's Office in Tennessee. They had a slot open to go up here and work on a warrant team. You basically serve warrants, and then also you do some patrol stuff too. So I took that opportunity and moved to a larger department,
which is something that we do, you know, frequently, and you know, looking for better job opportunities. So everything is good. You're working for the sheriff in Tennessee, and how long are you working for him when the world comes crashing down?
Well, I'd been working for him over a year, roughly, I think, 13 to 14 months, and I just got off patrol one night. I was sleeping. I woke up that afternoon. I was going back on patrol, and somebody sent me a picture of me in uniform from when I worked in Ashe County with a headline that said, charged with second-degree murder.
You had no idea this was happening, and suddenly you wake up a year and a half after this incident, And you read it in the newspaper?
Well, it was actually, I read it on a Facebook message that a friend sent me on Messenger. So, yes, I wake up to that. I have no idea. I've not received a phone call, a text, nothing. I have no idea any of this is being done. They secretly closed and indicted me. Basically, the public didn't even know about it.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to even conceive of what I would feel like knowing that there's a murder indictment against me. So how did you deal with that?
Well, I actually called Ashe County Sheriff's Office. They told me to call the FBI, that they didn't know what was going on. So I called. Then I called the special agent that did my interview that night, and he informed me basically that he still wasn't clear of what was going on. And then I was told that I had to appear in Ashe County the next day, and I had about 14 hours to make $250,000 bond.
Who? I mean, you're telling me the story, and I know the story already, and it still leaves me speechless. So you get told you need to be back in Ashe County. So what were the steps? I mean, what did you do? I mean, you had to get an attorney right away, correct?
Well, yeah, I called some people trying to find out what was going on. The captain at Carter County, he told me, I met with him, the sheriff, and the chief there. They have all been just over the top good to me. The department here has been great to me. I went down there and meet with them. You know, they expressed their sympathy and have done everything they could throughout this whole process. But because it was from another department, I had to go on unpaid leave. So I had no pay, no insurance, and I was also left with trying to find a lawyer and, you know, with roughly six figures in attorney fees. So I went from being a sheriff's deputy on patrol to no pay, no insurance, having to make $250,000 bond, and then having to try and come up with another, you know, almost $100,000 for a lawyer.
I'm feeling myself the pressure here. So what were the steps next? Tell us what happened.
Well, the steps next, actually, to tell you, to make this story even better, a judge sent my sister a message on Facebook and said that basically that your brother's being screwed, and she gave my sister the number to what I consider to be you know, an extremely good attorney in North Carolina. So I called him. He said that he would take my case, and I didn't know how that I was going to pay him. We actually told him we have no idea. I didn't come from a wealthy family. I didn't have that money, nor did my parents. And he took the case. So the next morning, I drive about 2.5 hours back to North Carolina. And after I make bond, after four family members put their homes up for my bond, after I make bond, the judge then, it wasn't a part of my bond condition was that I had to stay in Ashe County. So I didn't have a toothbrush. I didn't have clothes to wear. I had nothing because I live in Tennessee, and he restricted me to Ashe County, North Carolina.
Gee, this is just getting worse and worse. Well, now what, let's go back for a second. I know that the shock of discovering this murder warrant out for you, just had to be just a life-altering experience. But what did you find out about how this happened? I mean, how did this actually? I mean, there's clearly some vindictiveness here for this to take place. What happened?
Well, to be totally honest with you, the family members of the family members of Mr. Shatley, who forced us to have to use deadly force on him that night, they were friends with the district attorney. He then later on recused himself from it and passed it to another district attorney down in the state. And there is several news stories about, I'm not gonna say something that I don't know for a fact, but let's just say there's several things on the internet that have shown that of them two trying to help each other out.
So the original district attorney in this recused himself because of a relationship with the family
of the man that you shot. And a and another.
Correct.
So who was the district attorney that forced this indictment?
Gary Frank is his name. He's a district attorney for Davie and Davidson County, North Carolina, and also Alan Martin was an assistant DA who basically prosecuted it all.
A year and a half later, or so they get an indictment, and you were kept completely in the dark. Did they get an indictment immediately, or were there other things that took place that you're aware of?
They got it. To my knowledge, they got an indictment from the grand jury. It had got back to me that they basically had showed just a few seconds of the head cam, that they didn't show both of the head cams. So that is just something that had got back to me that someone had told me. I don't know that that's fact, but I think that there's a good chance that happened, because obviously a jury of 12, after seeing both head cams, said 100% not guilty.
All right, so let's go back to the time that you find yourself back in Nash County. You've never been in trouble for anything in your entire life. You served your community, and the judge there gives you a very, very high bond, and then tells you you can't leave the county. How did that affect your life?
Well, I was I seen there pretty much instantly that this had to do with dirty politics. I actually don't even know the name of the judge who, I guess, signed off on the bond release. But yeah, they told me that I couldn't go, so I had to get my mother, my stepdad, and some friends to drive all the way back to Tennessee just so I could have a vehicle and, you know, some clothes to wear for the next 11 days. It took 11 days for my attorney to get that restricted so I could actually return home.
So your attorney, what's your attorney's name, by the way?
Jay Vinoy.
Jay Vinoy, and he's out of Tennessee, or is he out of North Carolina?
He's out of Wilkesboro, North Carolina. It's Vinoy, Vinoy Law Firm.
All right, so he took your case basically gratis, right from the very beginning. Did you know him, or how did that happen?
No, I did not know him at all. A judge had spoke with my sister and knows him, and said that basically I needed help. We met with him that morning, and my mom and my stepdad, we sit down and said, we don't know how, but we'll get you the money. And he said, that's good enough for me right there. And he actually, it was on the news that morning. So he actually took the case with us not giving him a penny, and was actually on the news with me as well.
You know, I've been very, very critical of many attorneys during my career, both as a law enforcement officer and also as a law enforcement commentator. But I know that there are some truly, truly very good people that take the law and are as dedicated as law enforcement officers are in their feelings about justice. It sounds like this lawyer is one of them.
Well, I will tell you this much. Jay Vinoy and Brandon York, they are the two attorneys that work together. They awesome, awesome men. They are great people, and they work tirelessly on this.
Yeah, it sounds like that. This is an amazing occurrence that these attorneys would take this case. So they jump into the defense. They get you released to the point where you can go back home, and then you have to deal with a defense over the next, what did it take to get to trial? How long was it?
537 days to get to trial.
but who's counting? How many hours, right?
Way too many.
So, all right, so you got, I mean, literally a year and a half, basically, where your life, so all this time, now you're not working. You can't work as a deputy because you're under this cloud, and you're going to go to trial for murder.
Yes, sir.
There's so many questions I have for you that you know, it's difficult to even characterize what you must have been, what the pressure you must have been on under this. How did you live?
Well, first off, there is no words to describe the pressure and the pure mental hell through this. But I lived through basically by three different ways. I've told people from day one, if it wasn't for God, friends, and family, I would have never made it through any of this. The Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, Ron Hosko and those guys actually reached out to them, and they all viewed my head that I did nothing wrong, and they actually raised all the money to pay my attorney, and they have also helped with living expenses. I've had officers donate money. My mom is my hero. She has been over the top helping me every step of the way. My sister, basically just good people in blue and friends and family and lots of praying.
You know, when I hear this, I feel both shame that a criminal justice system treated you this way, and also I feel a sense of pride almost that good people came to your aid and made justice happen. You know, you mentioned Ron Hosko. Many people don't know what his organization does. Can you tell us briefly about him and about that organization?
Oh, my gosh. The Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, Mr. Hosko, Brian Patterson, I stayed in touch with him a lot. He's also a member. The Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund honestly saved my life. They not only saved my life, they saved my home. I almost lost my house. I would have lost my home if it wasn't for them. They are an organization that represents officers who are wrongfully charged, and they not only sent me throughout the year and a half money to live on, but also they raised roughly $80,000 for attorney fees. Also, there was another organization that jumped on later on to help me also.
Which organization was that?
It's a new organization that's just getting started. It's called Blue Blood Brotherhood. Jim and Tuesday Browning are the founders of it. They actually come to my trial with me. They were there through tons of moral support, and they did offer as much financial support as they could also. But yeah, they actually flew up from Florida and was actually there for my trial just for the support. Great people.
It's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. I know that Ron Hosko's organization, he was actually a guest on this radio show about a year ago, and they do amazing work. So you had this support, thank God, that it gave you both moral support, financial support. Your attorneys jumped on board and prepared for this. I mean, literally the trial for your life. Are there any, you know, while you were getting ready for this trial, was there anything that you learned about your previous sheriff's department or about the politics of what was taking place that really startled you?
I was extremely, extremely blown away at how corrupt the politics were. If I could have a little bit of time, I would like to elaborate a little bit more on those politics, and I'll
Absolutely.
Make it even more interesting.
Absolutely. You have all the time in the world.
Okay. While this happened to me, I worked for Sheriff James Williams. He was a great man, and he treated me fair. And it was a pleasure working there. But after I got in, right around the same time I got indicted, Sheriff James Williams retired because he had 10 years in as sheriff. Then basically the politics come into play, and they appointed a new sheriff that basically wasn't even qualified to be sheriff and was and was put in by the commissioners in a very dirty manner to try and swing the politics. Well, throughout this year and a half, that sheriff thought, because of Southern Justice and because I worked under James Williams, that he would make it his job to make me look bad. So not only did he make me look bad as far as writing articles in the paper weekly about me, he also asked the other officer that fired, he asked him to lie. I have the documents from the state, and he actually got indicted himself on 6 charges.
A man that I have never met
tried to ruin my life. There was a civil settlement from an officer-involved shooting I was in 2012, and there was a non-disclosure agreement signed that sheriff could not disclose any amount of anything. He actually printed it in the front page of the paper, trying to make me look like I did something wrong from an officer-involved shooting 5 years ago, and he did that in hopes of winning the vote in Nash County to become sheriff. He is no longer sheriff and got charged.
That is absolutely incredible. So you find out that the sheriff who was appointed, he wasn't elected, he was appointed by the commission, by the county commission, has a political agenda that basically he wants to get elected on your back, and so he violates the law by giving information to the media that destroys your reputation. What was he indicted for?
He was indicted for 3 felonies. A Charlotte news station did a public records request, and he got indicted for that because he wouldn't give the public records. And then he actually started his own investigation against the public records clerk and tried to have her fired. Like almost the entire sheriff's department, over 30 members of the sheriff's department left. I mean, it was to the point where they didn't even have qualified people to answer the calls for the citizens of Ash County. Almost the entire department left because of this guy.
That's unbelievable. Now, okay, so you find out that this is going on in the background, which has got to freak you out even more that your agency that you work for has turned against you in such a dramatic way. What is your attorney saying about all this as he's discovering these things?
Well, he's discovering it all, and we're just continuing. Everybody's just saying, you know, what in the hell is going on? Like, how is this happening? I mean, it was for almost a year, I had to read articles about me that were total lies while I'm out on bond for murder. And the sheriff was actually in with this very small newspaper agency in Ash County, and that agency now is actually no longer a newspaper because all they did was write lies about me for over a year. And again, this is while I'm getting ready to go to trial for my life.
I just can't even fathom the frustration of seeing that. So your defense is being prepared. Where did the trial take place?
The trial took place in Yakin County, North Carolina, YADKIN. We did a change of venue because we didn't believe that I could get a fair trial in Ash County.
I think that was probably a foregone conclusion. So your attorney got a change of venue, you just had the trial. How long did the trial go?
The trial went for 15 days. It was 2 weeks and 1 day.
And who presented the case against you?
The Yakin County, the district attorney, like I said, was, I've got to think his name. Gary Frank was the district attorney, and Alan Martin and one other guy was the ones who actually presented it against me.
Okay. And, in the days and weeks leading up to the trial, What were you going through emotionally and spiritually?
Emotionally, it was so hard that there were days that I couldn't get out of bed. The hardest part of it was, you know, I'm going for trial. I'm going to trial for my life, and I'm supposed to remember every detail of this case that happened 3 years ago in another state, and I've been enforcing Tennessee law, and you know, and basically already forgot some of North Carolina law. Granted, they're similar, but still. So for the last couple of months, I've had to watch my head cam daily, probably 40 or 50 times, just because I'm a professional and I knew that I wanted to make sure to not leave any stone unturned. But I can't tell you what that does to a person mentally, having to watch yourself take someone's life day in and day out. I mean, I was a hermit. I couldn't even leave the basement.
Oh, Jesus. And were you living with your folks at the time?
I still have my apartment in Johnson City. I was a courtesy officer there, so I had free rent, and thank God the lady that owns the apartment complex said that I could stay there while dealing with all this. But then later on, my nerves and stuff had got so bad that I tried to go back to my apartment, and I started throwing up every time I went there, because that's where I was at when I got charged.
Sure.
So I have two great friends. Their names are Mike and Jackie Estep. They're a married couple, and they have they have let me stay in their home rent free, because it's in a quiet neighborhood where I could relax for the last 3 or 4 months. So again, that was just God sending somebody else to help me. I couldn't have done it without them. I couldn't have done it, you know, without every person that my captain Jeff Marklin, he has went over the top to help me. It's amazing, but through such pure hell, you know, I've seen so many blessings, and it actually restored, you know, my good faith in people. I'm actually thankful this happened to me and not an officer that has wife and kids. You know, I'm single. I couldn't imagine this pressure if I had a wife and children dependent on my income, and then this happened. So it was pure hell, but it turned into a blessing.
It's an amazing story. So let's go to the trial. The trial begins. Take us through it.
Yeah, it begins Monday. So we start jury selection. Takes us a little over 2 days to pick a jury. We had to find people that had, you know, we had the TV show Southern Justice. It still reruns and reairs all the time. So we kind of wanted people that basically had, you know, that didn't know anything about me or anything about the case. So jury selection took 2 days, and then it was go time.
Did you testify in the trial?
I absolutely testified in the trial. I testified last, and we wanted it to be that way so that the last thing that the jury heard was the truth.
The case against you, who did they call for witnesses?
To tell you how ridiculous this was, the state, the only witnesses they called were a few of the family members, and their witnesses actually testified to seeing me be dragged by the truck. So then they call in a witness, the state's witness, a ballistics expert, and they prove that one of the bullets that hit him come from my gun, and they couldn't even prove what gun the second bullet come from. They didn't even prove that. They didn't bring one expert in there that said I did anything wrong.
and yet they prosecuted you for murder. It's mind-boggling.
Yes.
Now, how about the other officer that fired the weapon? What's happened with him?
He did not get charged with anything, but basically after the I'm not even going to call that guy the ex-sheriff, but after the he's a disgrace to the badge, and he's not an officer. But actually, Deputy Roten ended up seeking out to my knowledge, he is seeking out an attorney. They actually fired him basically after he said he wouldn't lie on me.
So did he testify at the trial?
He did. Yes, sir. He was actually the state's witness, and there was another deputy. To make it even better, there was another deputy there also, and the state didn't even call him. The state didn't even call Mr. Shatley's wife, who was the last person to see him alive. They only called one eyewitness to a, quote, murder charge when they had several eyewitnesses, and they didn't even call them.
This is good. Your lawyer had to be shaking his head going, how the hell is this even taking place?
Absolutely. We called in all the witnesses. The whole trial was insane. And they never produced one bit of evidence that said I was guilty of anything. They didn't provide an expert that said I didn't follow my training. They didn't do that. They couldn't even prove who the second bullet come from.
It gets worse and worse. So you went through 15 days of a trial. Basically, you're calling all the witnesses because they didn't even call anybody, basically. And how did you feel during the trial? While you were watching everything take place? I mean, this is literally the culmination of everything that bad has happened to you. Is now your life is on the line during this trial. How did you react to it? How did you feel about it? And what was the reaction from your family and loved ones?
Well, the trial, I've never been through anything so emotionally draining in my life. I actually had, that Saturday morning and, I actually had Saturday morning of the trial. I actually had a very serious, PTSD issue. I had to call 911. I just kept flashing back to the shooting. My adrenaline went so high, I couldn't breathe. So I actually had to go, actually have an ambulance Saturday morning while I'm getting ready to start my second week of trial. I actually had an ambulance, had to call 911 and go to the ER because my heart rate and my blood pressure skyrocketed so high. So that's the kind of stress I was under.
I can certainly understand it. What an absolutely normal reaction to an abnormal situation. I understand that entirely. So the trial is occurring. It goes to the jury, and how did you feel when it actually went to the jury, and now they're out deciding your fate?
Well, you know, it was scary, but at the same time, I kept in my head saying, "I trust you, Jesus." I said that about 1,000 times while standing up there, and I expected to be found not guilty because I didn't do anything wrong. I followed my training verbatim. Someone's actions forced me to have to take their life in the line of duty. Mr. Shatley was not allowed to possess a firearm. He had a loaded firearm. He also was not allowed to consume alcohol due to his probation restrictions. He blew a .15 at the autopsy. Nobody wants to say any of these facts.
Right, exactly. So the jury is out. How long were they actually out?
Roughly 6 hours. They went out Friday afternoon late. Due to jurors needing to pick their kids up and stuff, they went into deliberation roughly 2.5-3 hours Friday afternoon. Then we agreed to come back Monday. So then I had to live another weekend with this hanging over my head.
Oh, boy.
And I got and we went back to court Monday morning. And at 11:24, both verdicts come in 100% not guilty, 12 votes. I'm a free man.
Hoppy, this is the best news that I've heard in a long, long time. I can't imagine the relief that you must have felt hearing that verdict?
Yeah, there are no words. There are no words to describe what that feels like, but also, you know, this shows when you are when you're a correct law enforcement officer, when it's not a job to you, when you love it more than anything, and you make actions and you do your job and you make the correct actions, you stick to it, period. No matter who's bullying you, who's coming after, stick to your guns. The truth will stand when the world's on fire.
Those are inspiring words. Those are, you're literally just days off of this verdict, so you got to be walking on air about now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm 18 years. I feel like I'm 18 years old again.
Well, that is awesome. So now, what's the future for Josh Hopkins?
Well, I just got the call from my captain and chief yesterday. So as of Monday, I'm returning to Carter County Sheriff's Office and working in investigations. I'm working in the Criminal Investigation Division. So I'm going to go investigate some crimes and get back out there behind the badge.
Woohoo! Now we're talking. That is fantastic.
Hey, I ain't wasting no time, brother.
That is, oh my, I am so happy for you. I'm thrilled that the sheriff and his department has backed you basically all the way through this, and now they're giving
you... backed me. Carter County Sheriff's Office here in Tennessee has backed me 100%. They have been over the top good to me. It's a great department with a lot of professionals. And as soon as this was over, they went straight back to put me back to work. They had faith in me. I can't express how happy I've been the way that they've treated me. And just, they believe in law, and there's a lot of good officers there, and they have helped me tremendously.
That's fantastic, the support that they have given you. Now, how about, do you have any legal recourse against those that created this living hell for you?
Well, the family of Mr. Shatley actually took out a civil lawsuit against me pre-trial, which was very strange. So not only did I have that, I had a civil lawsuit from them pre-trial. I still have to deal with that, but the county pays for that. And I am also seeking, I can't really say much about it, but I am definitely seeking my own attorneys and my own, for lack of better words, I'm definitely looking into my options and talking to the counsel I need to talk to.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear. And this is, so the saga will continue, but in a different way. It's not Josh Hoppy Hopkins being on the defensive. It's time to get to work and go after those who have wronged you. And that's something that we'll be following very, very closely. So tell me now, everything that you went through is a recipe for post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
And this is a topic that I discuss in often on this show and also in my life as a law enforcement advocate and commentator. How are you going to deal with that issue?
Well, to be honest, I have been diagnosed with it, and I personally, even during through all this, I've seen my therapist regularly. I still see her maybe twice a month. PTSD is a real thing. It's not something to be ashamed about. I guess I always had kind of the old country boy approach, like throw some dirt on it and go on, it'll be okay. But it did hit me pretty hard through all this. I feel fine, but I do continually take the right steps to take care of it, to monitor it, and understand that it is something that I can't control.
Absolutely. That is the, every law enforcement officer can learn from your experience. and you know, PTSD or post-traumatic stress injury is something that can be defeated. It is an injury just like a physical injury, and it can be treated and it can be dealt with. And I applaud your honesty in addressing it, both, you know, within yourself and also publicly, like you are. So, you know, as we come to a close, what would you like to say to the law enforcement officers that are listening to you and the people who support law enforcement that listen to this broadcast? Is there a message you'd like to give them?
Absolutely. First and foremost, I would like to say that no matter how hard things get, God is in control. There's power in prayer. We are a brotherhood. There, don't get discouraged watching the media, because the media is mainly 5% of the population that's doing nothing but telling lies. The other 95% of society love law enforcement. They need us. They want us. It's their job to stand up and fight harder than we ever have due to the attack on us right now. You know, law enforcement is a great career. There's nothing like it. It's not a job. It's a calling. And, you know, we can turn this around. We're bigger than this. God's bigger than this. We have to all stick together.
Those are fantastic words. I believe in everything you just said. And, you know, the future looks very, very exciting and bright for you. There's many more adventures in a law enforcement career that you're about to tackle again. And I can't tell you how pleased I am about how everything worked out for you. And you're going to have a great future, not just in law enforcement, but now it's time to get back to Hoppy Hopkins life.
Hey, it's time to go out and, you know, get some work done. I do got to say one thing though. I need you to do me a huge favor.
You got it. What can I do?
If you have access, you have to tell Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, I love those guys. I watch them every night. And go President Trump.
Okay.
I'll
make sure that I get them that message. And Josh, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. We'll talk again as events unfold.
Absolutely. I've also been working on a book. Hopefully it'll be coming out relatively soon. Got to finish up the last few chapters and put in there my not guilty verdict. But I have been working on a book through all this, and hopefully I can let the media know what it is and the good people that's really behind the badge.
You can bet on that. We'll help you get that word out as soon as that thing gets published. So once again,
thank you, sir. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, my pleasure was all mine. Thanks again.
If you are a law enforcement officer in the United States, or if you are a company that hires off-duty law enforcement officers for, say, security jobs, traffic jobs, things like that, you want to listen to this advertisement, because this is a company that's out of Arizona, but they have a presence in most of the states in the United States. They're called Law Enforcement Specialists Incorporated. And they have a really interesting business model. They take police officers. If you're interested in working extra duty jobs, and who isn't, right? I mean, it's hard to make ends meet on simply your salary. Contact law enforcement specialists, and they will put you on the list for extra duty jobs. Just like you go through your own agency to get extra duty jobs, well, they do it for you. And they work with your agency. It's really interesting. They're the only company I know of that does this. So if you go to offdutypoliceofficers.com, you can find out all about this company. And then you can also contact them and make yourself available for extra duty assignments. If you are a company that hires off-duty cops, then you want to do the same thing. Law enforcement specialists, they're out of Arizona, but they have a presence in most of the United States, and check them out at offdutypoliceofficers.com. And this is a great opportunity for both law enforcement and people who hire them to kind of make things easier. So check them out. That's law enforcement specialists at offdutypoliceofficers.com. Now, if you're a police officer, or if you are a spouse or a family member, one of the things that that is very necessary to help save lives are the ballistic vests and the body armor that, that police officers wear. The problem with that is that they're uncomfortable. They're hot, especially in the summertime. They get wet, they get sweaty, they get nasty, and it's just it's part of the deal. I mean, you gotta wash them, you gotta take care of them, and that's one of the problems with having a ballistic vest. There is a new product, and I kind of like it. They call it StinkyVest.com. That's the company, and they arrest odors. I love it. And this is really good stuff. And it's not, you don't have to just use it for vests. It's good for all kinds of odors, hampers, the whole bit. And it's really effective stuff. It won't harm your skin. It's really a necessity. If you wear ballistic body armor, or if you want to use it for just home use, this is some really good stuff. And if it's only available at StinkyVest.com. Go take a look at it. It's put out by a law enforcement organization, and it eliminates odors without harmful chemicals, pet odors, the whole bit. So check it out. That's StinkyVest.com, and you can contact them, see their products, and it is worthwhile. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. I enjoy having guests on. I hope that you enjoy it as well. You can follow me on Facebook if you go to Randy Sutton, public figure, and just like and follow. I do a lot of my posting every single day on that venue. And also, if you are a Twitterer, at LT Randy Sutton. That's at LT Randy Sutton. That's on Twitter. And I'm going to do a few more social medias as well. I'm also on LinkedIn. So if you want to hook up on LinkedIn, check me out there. So thanks again for listening in on this week's episode. And I'll see you again next week.